Late night lab lights a quiet hum. Messages waiting where the shadows run. Letters of life in a photocode, but they don't.
Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app.
Glad to be here.
You know, when we picture a medical mystery, I think the mind often jumps to conditions that affect like one in a million people.
Right.
Well, the obscure stuff, the highly unusual. But today, we are actually shining a light on a condition that touches roughly one in six couples globally.
Yeah, that's a massive number of people.
Exactly. We're looking at unexplained infertility, and specifically, we're diving into severe male factor infertility, because it's a situation that, for way too long, has basically operated like a locked black box.
It really has. I mean, the frustration for these patients is immense.
I can't even imagine. A man walks into a clinic, discovers he is producing absolutely zero sperm, and his doctors simply have to shrug and say, well, we have no idea why.
Right. The biological mechanisms driving these really severe cases haven't just been difficult to treat. They've been completely invisible to the medical community for decades.
Unseen. So to understand the scale of what is actually happening inside the cells of these patients, I want you to imagine a bustling factory.
Okay, I like a good factory analogy.
So this factory represents the nucleus of a single cell. And deep inside that factory, you have workers who are constantly printing out vital blueprints.
Which biologists call RNA, right?
Exactly, RNA. And those blueprints contain the precise instructions needed to build the actual physical machinery of the cell, the proteins. But, and here's the catch, those blueprints are utterly useless if they can't get off the printing press, out of the highly secured nucleus, and onto the assembly floor in the surrounding cytoplasm.
Because that's where the actual building happens.
Right. To make that journey, every single blueprint must pass through heavily guarded security doors, which are the nuclear pores.
Yeah, the nuclear pore complex.
Yeah.
Highly specialized doors.
Now, consider what happens to the entire factory if one specific guard stationed at a highly specialized door just goes missing.
Well, the immediate consequence is that all those blueprints just pile up behind the security door.
They can't get out.
Exactly. The machinery on the assembly floor never gets built. The workers have no instructions, and basically the entire factory grinds to a permanent halt.
And that structural failure is the core of our deep dive today. We are exploring how an international team of genetic sleuths finally identified one of those crucial missing guards.
And in doing so, they solved a decades-old mystery in human reproduction.
So who exactly are the sleuths behind this?
Today, we celebrate the work of an incredible international team, including researchers from the Institute of Reproductive Genetics at the University of Münster, the University of Turku, Red Budum, and Newcastle University, who have advanced our understanding of male infertility and cellular transport.
Amazing work. Where was this published?
The foundational data comes from their article titled, NXT2 is a key component of the RNA nuclear export factor complex in the human testes and essential for spermatogenesis.
A bit of a mouthful, but very descriptive.
Yeah, authored by Ann Kristen Dick, Amar Ahmadani, Frank Tittleman, Urjit Stallmeyer, and colleagues. It was published in the journal Nature Communications on July 07, 2025.
All right, so before we get into the total breakdown of the factory, we really need to establish the baseline.
Right, the normal state of things.
Yeah. So in a healthy, everyday human cell, say a skin cell or a liver cell, how do those RNA blueprints normally get past the security doors? Who are the standard guards?
So in almost all eukaryotic cells, which means basically everything from yeast to humans, the transport of standard bulk mRNA out of the nucleus relies on a very specific duo.
Team.
Yeah, it's a heterodimer, meaning a team of two different proteins that lock together to function. Their names are NXT1 and NXF1.
NXT1 and NXF1.
You can envision them as your general purpose everyday transport team.
The reliable everyday workers holding the whole system together.
Exactly. They bind to the RNA, walk it over to the nuclear pore complex, interface with the actual structure of the pore, and escort the RNA safely out into the cytoplasm. And they handle this job in almost every single tissue in your body.
Okay, so that is the baseline.
It is. However, human genetics carries this really fascinating twist.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
We have a gene called NXT2. It's what we call an X chromosomal paralog to NXT1.
A paralog meaning it's like a copy.
Yeah, exactly. Meaning at some point deep in our evolutionary history, the original gene duplicated. And it created a second copy located on the X chromosome.
Oh, interesting.
And observing what happened to that second copy over millions of years is where the biology becomes profound. Because if you look at a mouse, for instance, NXT2 is functioning everywhere in its body.
Just like the everyday worker NXT1.
Right. And actually, if a laboratory knocks out the NXT2 gene in a mouse, the mouse doesn't really seem to care.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it remains perfectly healthy and perfectly fertile.
Okay, let's unpack this. If NXT1 already does a flawless job moving RNA out of the nucleus everywhere in the body, and even mice don't seem to need their NXT2 copy for anything specific, why do humans have it?
That is the million-dollar question.
Right. Why keep a duplicate around if the original is doing all the heavy lifting?
Because in humans, and actually in other primates as well, NXT2 didn't just sit around as a backup.
It changed.
It went through a process called adaptive selection. It mutated, it adapted, and it took on a highly specialized role. In primates, NXT2 is no longer found everywhere. It is heavily enriched almost exclusively in one highly specific environment.
Let me guess, the testes.
Exactly, the testes.
The factory where sperm is manufactured. But spermatogenesis, right? The creation of a sperm cell, isn't it just cell division?
Oh, not at all.
Why go through the evolutionary trouble of building a completely customized VIP transport system just for that?
Well, calling it just cell division really undersells the sheer architectural marvel of spermatogenesis.
Fair enough.
It is arguably the most complex cellular differentiation process in the human body. You are taking a standard, round cell and completely stripping it down.
Right, physically remodeling it.
Yeah, turning it into this highly specialized modal DNA delivery vehicle with a swimming tail and a tightly compacted payload.
So it's an extreme metamorphosis.
Exactly. And that extreme metamorphosis requires massive, tightly timed bursts of gene expression. It demands the transport of highly specialized RNA blueprints that the general purpose NXT1 guard simply isn't equipped to handle.
Wow. So the standard guard literally can't read the VIP blueprints, so the testes had to evolve its own specialized guard.
You've got it.
That makes logical sense from an evolutionary standpoint. Mm-hmm. But actually proving that a protein is acting as a specialized guard deep inside the nucleus of a human testis cell sounds impossible. I mean, how do you even observe machinery that small in action?
Well, it requires a pretty clever dual-pronged approach, Basically merging biochemistry with large-scale human genomics.
Okay, tell me about the biochemistry side first.
Right, to solve the biochemical side, the researchers performed something akin to molecular fishing in actual human adult testis tissue lysates.
Molecular fishing, I like that.
Yeah, they utilized a technique called co-immunoprecipitation, and they paired it with mass spectrometry.
Walk us through the mechanics of that fishing expedition. How does co-immunoprecipitation actually catch anything?
So they start by taking human testis tissue and breaking it down into a cellular soup.
The lysate.
The lysate, exactly. The proteins are all just floating around in there. Then they use custom antibodies as a chemical hook.
Ah, okay.
These antibodies are designed to bind exclusively to the NXT2 protein. They drop the hook into the soup, let it grab onto NXT2, and then they physically pull the hook out.
And because proteins functioning in a complex hold onto each other tightly, right?
Right.
With chemical bonds.
So pulling out NXT2 drags its entire friend group out of the soup along with it.
Oh, wow. They pull the whole functional unit out of the cell intact.
Precisely. Once they have that isolated cluster of proteins, they use mass spectrometry.
Which essentially weighs and analyzes the fragments of the proteins, right?
Yeah, to identify every single member of that network, they mapped its entire interactome.
That's incredibly precise.
It is. And to ensure this wasn't just, you know, a random clumping of proteins in a test tube, they actually verified the physical connections using human embryonic kidney cells.
Also known as HK293T cells, right?
Yes. They took those cells,
Introduced
the testes genes, and then systematically chopped up the resulting proteins.
Why chop them up?
By deleting specific structural domains, they could see exactly which molecular puzzle pieces were required to make the protein stick together in vitro.
Seeing the physical puzzle pieces connect is brilliant, but that is only half of the dual-pronged approach you mentioned. What was the second method?
The second phase moves from biochemical fishing to massive genomic sleuthing.
Ooh, I love genomic sleuthing.
Because knowing what a protein touches in a cell is vital, sure.
Yeah.
But to prove it is essential for human reproduction, you have to observe what happens when the protein breaks in an actual person.
Right, the clinical evidence.
Exactly. So the team scoured the exome and genome data of over 2,700 well-characterized infertile men.
That is a huge data set.
It's massive. They used global data sets, specifically the Merge cohort and the Nijmegen and Newcastle cohorts. They were searching through terabytes of human genetic code for a profound rarity.
Which was?
Men who carried rare, high-impact mutations that completely broke the NXT2 gene, or the genes of its partners.
What's fascinating here is the sheer scale of that search. I mean, they are effectively looking for men where nature has already run a knockout experiment.
Exactly.
Digging through 2,700 genomes, just hoping to find a broken version of this specific cellular guard.
It's looking for a needle in a haystack.
So when they brought these two massive data sets together, the biochemical fishing and the genetic sleuthing, what emerged? Like, what was actually attached to NXT2 when they pulled it out of the testes?
They discovered a completely custom-built, testes-specific export complex.
Okay.
Remember our everyday worker, NXT1, which handles RNA transport in the rest of the body?
Yeah, the baseline guy.
Well, in the human adult testes, it is virtually absent from the transport complex. It barely registers.
So NXT2 totally takes over.
NXT2 has completely taken over the driving seat. The fishing expedition revealed that NXT2 binds directly to two testes-specific partner proteins.
Okay, what are they called?
They're named NXF2 and NXF3.
And how exactly do they connect? Are they just like bumping into each other?
No, the connection is incredibly precise. NXT2 locks into its partners using a specific structural region called an NTF2-like domain.
Think of it as a highly specific lock and key mechanism.
Exactly. But the researchers found something even more critical. This specialized NXT2 complex was also chemically bound to proteins called NUP93 and NUP214.
Wait, NUP meaning nucleoporins?
Yes.
The proteins that physically build the security doors of the nucleus.
You have it. This proved beyond a doubt that NXT2 isn't just floating aimlessly in the cell.
It is actively docking with the nuclear pore,
serving as the master key for RNA export during sperm production.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because of that genomic sleuthing through the 2,700 patients, we don't have to guess what happens when that master key is lost.
Right. We can see the actual biological fallout.
So what happened to the men in the database who had broken versions of this gene?
The researchers identified three unrelated infertile men with severe loss-of-function variants in the NXT2 gene. And the genetic damage was catastrophic.
How bad are we talking?
One man had an entire 42 kilobase deletion. His whole NXT2 gene was simply erased from his chromosome.
Oh, wow. Just gone.
Completely gone. It was a de novo mutation, meaning it occurred spontaneously and wasn't inherited.
And the other two men?
The other two possessed truncating mutations. Basically, genetic stop signs inserted right into the middle of the code, resulting in a protein that was cut short and entirely non-functional.
And what was the physical manifestation of those broken genes?
The clinical phenotype was severe and identical across all three individuals. They all suffered from non-obstructive azoospermia.
Meaning, when doctors analyzed their ejaculate, there was absolutely zero sperm.
Zero. And the testicular biopsies revealed something even more stark. A Sertoli cell-only histology.
Okay, for our listeners trying to visualize that, let's look at the seminiferous tubules.
Right.
Those are the physical tubes inside the testes where the sperm assembly line actually operates.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sertoli cells are the structural nose cells, right? They hold the line together and nourish the developing sperm.
Exactly. And the germ cells are the actual raw material that divides and transforms into the final sperm cell.
That is the perfect visualization. So in these three men lacking a functional NXT2 guard, the nurse cells were present, holding the assembly line open, but the line itself was completely empty.
The tubules were virtually devoid of germ cells.
Wow.
Because without the ability to export vital RNA blueprints from the nucleus, the earliest stages of germ cell development simply crash. The cells fail to differentiate and likely die off before the process even truly begins.
Wait, I need to stop you there. I'm trying to map this out in my head. You mentioned earlier that NXT2 doesn't work alone. It binds to those specialized partners, NXF2 and NXF3.
Right, through those lock and key domains.
Did the genomic search find any men with mutations in those partner genes instead of the main guard?
They did, actually. They found one man in the cohort with a mutation in NXF3.
Oh, really?
Yeah. His genetics revealed a premature stop codon that physically shattered the protein's NTF2-like domain.
The exact physical lock and key structure needed to bind to NXT2.
Precisely.
So his main guard, NXT2, was perfectly fine, but one of its specialized partners couldn't connect to it. What was the fallout for his assembly line?
Well, his clinical phenotype was drastically different from the men missing NXT2. He didn't have an empty assembly line.
He didn't.
No, he actually produced sperm. but he was diagnosed with extreme oligoosteoderatosis.
Okay, that is a dense medical diagnosis. Let's translate that into what was actually happening to his cell.
Well, oligo indicates an extremely low quantity of sperm. Estheno means they lack motility. They basically cannot swim.
And teratoma.
Teratoma means they are severely malformed. To put numbers to it, 85% of his sperm were completely immotile, and a staggering 0% possessed normal morphology.
0%.
Yeah. They displayed devastating structural defects in the head, the midpiece, and most prominently, they possessed tightly coiled tails.
Okay, this timeline is where I am getting tripped up.
How so?
Breaking the main guard, NXT2, empties the assembly line completely before it even starts. But breaking its partner, NXF3, allows the assembly line to run all the way to the end, but it churns out sperm with coiled tails and deformed heads.
It sounds contradictory, right?
Yeah. How does breaking a transport door in the nucleus cause a tail to coil up at the very end of the line?
The answer lies in the cellular timetable. And the researchers mapped this out using single-cell RNA sequencing data.
Which essentially provides a timestamp for when every gene turns on during development.
Exactly. The data shows that NXT2 is expressed incredibly early, functioning right down to the early fetal germ cell.
Oh, I see.
It provides the foundational architecture for the entire germ cell line.
Yeah.
So if NXT2 is missing, the factory is never established.
The foundation cracks before the walls are even built.
Yes. Conversely, its partner, NXF3, is entirely absent in those early fetal cells. It doesn't switch on until much later.
When exactly?
It operates specifically in the postmeiotic haploid germ cells. These are the cells that have already finished their divisions and are entering the final dramatic metamorphosis.
Growing a long tail and packing mitochondria into the midpiece to generate power.
Exactly. NXF3 is summoned specifically to transport the RNA blueprints required for that final remodeling. So without it, the structural proteins needed to build a straight, functional tail never reach the cytoplasm,
resulting in the coiled, immotile malformations we see in the patient.
Exactly.
That is a staggering level of specialized biology, and seeing exactly how and when these specific genes trigger failures, I mean, it transforms this from a textbook curiosity into a real tool.
The practical application of this research is profound. By analyzing vast population databases, the researchers actually calculated what is known as a LOEUF score for the NXT2 gene.
Okay, let's avoid the acronym soup there. What does a LOUF score actually measure for the listener?
Think of it as a genetic tolerance rating. It compares how many broken versions of a gene we expect to see in the general population versus how many we actually observe.
So what does a low score mean?
A score near zero means the gene is so critical that if it mutates, the individual simply cannot pass the mutation on and it disappears from the population. NXT2's observed to expected fraction is effectively zero.
Wow, evolution aggressively weeds out any defects in this gene.
Yes, this data firmly validates NXT2 as a highly intolerant fundamental candidate gene for male infertility.
So what does this all mean? Like, practically speaking, if you are a clinician sitting across from a patient with unexplained azoospermia tomorrow, how does this genetic revelation change his care?
Well, under current clinical guidelines, when a man presents with zero sperm and no obvious blockage, the next step is often a surgical procedure called testicular sperm extraction, or TES.
Where doctors surgically biopsy the testicle with the hope of finding a few hidden pockets of mature sperm to use for in vitro fertilization.
Exactly. And it is invasive, emotionally exhausting, and expensive.
And if that man's infertility is driven by an NXT2 mutation...
If he carries an NXT2 mutation, the underlying biology dictates that his germ cells are simply absent. The assembly line is empty. Putting that man through a surgical TES procedure will almost certainly end in failure.
Right, there's nothing there to extract.
Exactly. By integrating NXT2 into standard genetic screening panels, a clinician can diagnose the root cause from a simple blood draw before any surgery is scheduled.
That's huge.
They can provide the patient with definitive clarity about why they're infertile, sparing them the physical pain, the financial cost, and really the profound false hope of an invasive procedure that cannot succeed.
Replacing a painful unknown with actionable clarity. I mean, that is the ultimate promise of genomics. But science is an ongoing process. What are the blind spots here? Where does this team look next?
The immediate limitation is definitely the sample size.
Right.
Identifying three men with NXT2 mutations and one with an NXF3 mutation is a monumental leap forward, for sure.
but to permanently cement this gene-disease relationship into global medical guidelines.
Clinics worldwide need to identify and document more patients with these specific variants.
The statistical power needs to increase across different populations.
Furthermore, a massive biological mystery remains regarding the cargo.
The cargo. Oh, right, the actual blueprint.
Yeah. We now know that NXF3 acts as a highly specialized transport guard late in sperm development. But what exactly is in the briefcases it carries?
Which specific RNA blueprints are so vital for shaping a sperm's midpiece and uncoiling its tail that they demand their own VIP transport system?
Identifying those specific RNA targets represents the next major frontier in reproductive biology.
It's incredible. Stepping back from the molecular details for a second, the protein fishing, the massive databases, the coiling tails. This deep dive really leaves us with one profound realization.
The central insight really is clear. The human testis has evolved a breathtakingly complex, custom-built RNA export machinery that relies entirely on NXT2.
Mm-hmm.
When this primate-specific pathway breaks down, the cellular assembly line halts entirely, resulting in severe male infertility and a total inability to produce healthy sperm.
It is a stark reminder of how delicately balanced and intricately timed human reproduction truly is. And honestly, it leaves you with a lingering question.
Which is?
What else is hiding in the architecture of our cells? What does this mean for other highly specialized tissues in the human body, like the intricate networks of the brain or the constant rhythm of the heart? Could they possess their own hidden evolutionary VIP transport systems, just waiting in the dark to be discovered by a team with the right chemical hook?
It's a fascinating thought.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science base by base.
Late night lab lights are quiet, hum. Messages waiting where the shadows run. Letters of life in a folded code, but they don't become real till they hit the road. There's a gate in the middle of the cell, a lock that knows the stories well. If the courier disappears from view, the whole bright future can't break through. Send it out, send it on, through the nuclear door. When the signal's stuck, you can't make any more. One missing link in the anthem turns to noise, but when it's in place, it can build a new voice. Send it out, send it on, let the blueprint roar. Team on the membrane line, handing off cargo in perfect time. Partners align like a two-part key, and the pole lights up like a runway beam. If an XT2 goes silent, the chain comes undone. No protein rising, no race to be won. Cells stall out where the promise starts. Empty halls and the tender parts. So we name the gap, so we trace the cause. Send it out, send it on, through the nuclear door. Now we see what the missing piece was for. From a break in the path to a clear diagnosis. From a closed off chance to a new prognosis. Send it out, send it on, let the blueprint soar.